Hey guys, welcome back to the Evan and Caitlin podcast.
We got no fancy intro today.
You know, we're just simple people.
With simple intros.
Simple intros. But today we're talking about a very complex and tangled situation, which is comparing YouTube versus blogging.
Yes, you guys, if you listen to our last podcast episode, we talked about our history with blogging. How that's actually kind of the thing that set us on the path to YouTube. And we went down some like nostalgic memory lane type things with the blog. But
yeah, we did it like as like almost a part-time hobby, but with like significant effort for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Part-time hobby with significant effort.
With significant effort.
Great way to summarize it.
With like hidden hopes that it would like just blow up and would become, I don't know, bloggers or something.
But I think because of those two experiences, the blogging and now the YouTube, and you know, we spent about equal time doing both, if you think about it, because we've been doing YouTube for 3 years now.
Well, and at the same time, during our YouTube career, we were continuing to blog also. We put significant effort into some blog posts.
We did. On some.
And for the very beginning of our YouTube career, we were putting significant effort into every single one of our blog posts.
But I guess that's not the point I'm making. Point I'm making is we've spent about equal time in both worlds and had very different experiences. And even though there might, I have heard from some people the sentiment of like, oh, blogs are dead. I don't necessarily think that because I still see a lot of successful blogs out there. But for us, blogging was dead. And I think it'd be interesting to talk about our experiences blogging versus our experiences with YouTube and like our thoughts on both.
They're different. They require different skills. Mm-hmm. They require different allocations of time. Mm-hmm. Both have potential. Mm-hmm. But they're just very different. So today we're going to be talking about some of those differences, some of like the experiences we've had with each, mm-hmm. and kind of contrasting them, and telling some stories of like experiments we've done with blogging and everything, like things that we haven't really shared, like how we tried to outsource the writing of our blogs
Oh, that was after we had started the YouTube channel and we still wanted to try to keep up the blog, doing more detailed tutorials for all of our projects, and we just didn't have the time to. So we were like, a lot of blogs hire ghostwriters.
Yeah.
What if we, you know, we're just trying to do tutorials for our projects, written tutorials. They can take what we've done in the video and just translate it to written form. Oh, it did not work well.
It did not work well.
We never posted. We hired some people. We got their work. We paid them for it, and we decided not to post it because
Multiple people.
Yeah, we tried this multiple times and it was just like, it didn't feel like us. It was weird.
I think we did publish one. I heavily edited one.
Oh, and you ended up publishing it?
And I didn't feel good about it. I didn't like it.
I felt like
I had to like make it worth something. So I heavily edited it, but it still didn't sound like us. I still I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll see if I can find it again. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know which one it was. We have a lot of things we've posted over the years. But we tried multiple services. We tried multiple people. But I think when you're just writing, when your video is just a very basic tutorial, like step one, step two, step three, step four, and everything is very clear,
it's easy to translate that into a written form.
But a lot of our content is us having fun, messing around, and doing experiments. And it's hard to translate that into like written tutorials. And you kind of need to know, like if we were going to write a blog post now and make it like as good as we want to, we would be sharing like behind the scenes things or things that didn't make it into the video or what have you. But it just doesn't make sense for us to put time into that because our website doesn't get views.
And like a third person can't write that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's just so much more worth our time to just make another video.
Yeah. Which brings us to YouTube versus blogging.
Oh, man. I think that I gave some stats in our last podcast, but I'll like quickly run through a few relevant numbers. we have done now 140 YouTube videos, which to me is kind of crazy. And we have done about 130 blog posts. We did blog posts.
Specifically, it was 148 YouTube videos on our main channel and 136 blog posts.
Yeah. And there's some overlap. Once we started doing YouTube videos, we did blog posts also. But we steadily blogged for a long time. And we not only steadily blogged, but Caitlin put time, energy, effort. I put time and energy, effort into the infrastructure. And one thing we didn't mention in the last podcast is I did SEO. Oh, I installed plugins that like rated our SEO. We wrote the metadata. We did tons of research with like Google Webmaster tools to see what search terms people were coming to our blog for. We did Pinterest. We didn't talk about that in the last blog post. We did like...
I put a lot of effort into Pinterest.
Caitlin put so much effort into Pinterest. And we have...
I would design custom pins, like pinnable images. I would like think about what to write.
And we have tens of thousands of pins.
Oh, yeah.
Our blog.
Yeah. We made like a custom little pin it button that would like pop up over our images when you hovered over them.
Yeah. We had like all this time and energy and effort.
Yet it really didn't
it really didn't
go anywhere.
And with all of this, with the blog, with YouTube, I mean, we recognize that our YouTube channel growing and reaching the success that it has, we're lucky.
Yeah.
We're really lucky.
It could have totally been the same thing with YouTube.
We somehow were plucked.
Mm-hmm. Plucked by the algorithm. YouTube
gods and shown around. But that speaks to a strength of YouTube. There's discoverability built into the platform. And that's one of the by far biggest strengths of YouTube.
Yeah. I would say that even though I think it might take more effort to do, in my experience, it takes more effort to do one YouTube video than it does to do one blog post, by far. But I think it is much easier to succeed on YouTube because of that discoverability. Because there's no, like, there's no website you go to and you're like, oh, I wonder what blogs I might like or might want to watch, where now, there's an algorithm feeding them to you.
There are the two biggest search platforms in the world. Number one, Google. Number two, YouTube. Now, lots of blogs. The main way that blogs find their initial growth and success is through SEO and through like networking and linking and all of the games that you play with Google to show up on Google.
But that's very different than an algorithm that is built to keep you on platform and feed you things that it has learned you will probably like.
Yeah.
And introduce you to new things.
Google is just serving relevant results.
Yeah.
They want the people who are searching on Google to find it. But like they're not monetized incentive to like direct like people to good content in a way. I don't know.
Well, it's just different because Google is directing to everything.
To everything.
On the internet.
And there's the competition is so high. The bar for SEO on
the internet?
On the internet for like, I this is a great example. Drywall repair. If you are searching for drywall repair on Google, oh boy, how many companies are competing for that number one slot? That number one page.
Ads, yeah. So many.
Local contractors, drywall repair companies, like maybe some tutorials, but like all of the big blogs with tons of writers and like the competition is killer. But when we made our drywall repair YouTube video, the competition was way less.
Mm-hmm. Way even though YouTube's less. Still a big place, it's still way less than all of the internet.
And it's easier to stand out in it was when we started. I mean, YouTube is being flooded all the time, more and more and more. But it still is easier to stand out on YouTube.
It's still a smaller pool than the internet at large, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah, but like the competition on Google search is just insane because There's just so many more websites out there than there are YouTube videos. Yeah. I don't know.
You're competing against more as a blogger, I think.
Especially as you go into like niche things in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, like on where YouTube,
people might not be searching for it as much.
Like per industry, this could vary a ton. I'm not fully sure. Like for gaming content, there's a lot of competition on YouTube for gaming content. But for high quality drywall repair videos, there might not be as much, you know? But for like on blogs, on blogging websites, it might be the opposite. Like honestly, when I am searching Minecraft tutorials, there's a bajillion YouTube videos. But trying to find a well-written blog post on like automatic chicken farms in Minecraft, there aren't that many blogs.
But it also could just be because Google isn't as good at like serving up ones that don't have as many links pointing to them or don't have their SEO done.
There could be tons of blogs out there doing Minecraft chicken farm tutorials and we're just not finding it because they're on page 12, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that you know, there's a like, oh man, on the blogging side of things, I was overwhelmed so many times, honestly, like looking at ways towards success.
Yeah. Well, it was also like,
wow.
I mean, and YouTube is constantly updating, constantly changing too. But I think like with YouTube, you know, there would be updates and it might just be like, it might result in you like tweaking your content a bit in whatever way. Like when people started doing longer videos versus 2-minute videos over time, that's a change that has happened. But like with our website, so much of the adjustments that had to be made were all like back end things that would have to be like jankily put together.
Yeah, it's like when responsive web pages, which are web pages that change shape depending on if they're on your computer or on your phone, when that started becoming a requirement, Google would penalize you if you didn't have a responsive website. And if you don't have this metadata or that tag or like Facebook optimization or like, I don't know, there's a bajillion things that
there are things that would literally cripple your website. Whereas like with YouTube, it's not as easy to get to that like point of like just crippling failure.
Also, it simplifies things for you. It's just like make the content and upload it.
Yeah.
And there are a bajillion things behind the scenes. Like you got to do title, thumbnail, but you had to do that for blogs too. Like writing titles, that took a lot of time even when we were blogging.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing that like the featured image.
Yeah. Like, even things like, this is getting a little like beyond SEO, but you know, we think a lot about the intros for our YouTube videos because so many people click out in those first few seconds, but it was kind of the same with blogs. Like we had to think of a really interesting hook in the beginning.
Yeah.
Insert the skit I wrote that we read in the last episode.
Yeah. But there's like succeeding on websites requires a different skill though, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of it is technical SEO website stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to write good content and be engaging and all of that stuff. But I mean like
it's so much more crowded.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that's really interesting, and I think that you can speak more to this on the blog side than I can, but talk about the community aspect. Okay. Of blogs, because I know that you engaged with other bloggers and you would be on other blogging websites. Was there like little pools of like bloggers that would like do things and stuff?
There were. So there were some kind of like communities of bloggers that you could tell they were just genuine friends. And then there were a lot of things that were kind of like tricks to game Google
into writing guest posts on different blogs.
It was kind of like that, kind of like collabs, but I'll just get into what they were. So there are some things where like you would genuinely like hear about a blog or a blogger from someone else because they were like they became in life or like real life friends, and they would do collabs and stuff, and that's how I found other bloggers through Young House Love, which is like the main blog that I followed. And that always felt very natural. But then there are a lot of things where there would be, so some examples are guest posts, but honestly, I didn't see that many of those. Maybe it was just because I didn't like them because
skip.
Yeah, I would skip it because like the reason that I would read the blog, it was partially the content, but more just about the person. If it was someone else, I was like, I don't know who this person is. I don't care. Like, I'm not reading because of the tutorial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things that would work sometimes would be like roundups. So there would be like an event. So like one common one is like the one room challenge. And I think that's still going on where there's a certain period of time. And there's like some bigger bloggers that are like invited to officially be a part of it. One blog runs it. Some bloggers are invited to be officially part of it, but then anyone can also join in and like use the hashtags and stuff. Hmm. And
but hashtags, how does that work on
well,
websites?
Let me finish.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's not just websites anymore because this is one that's still going on.
Yeah.
And so there will be a certain time period, a certain start and end date where you have the challenge to like do like make over an entire room in however many days. And everyone posts a blog post about their room makeover on the same day. And then at the bottom of that blog post, first you'll have all the other like official participants with like slightly bigger thumbnails of like their rooms that they made over. But then like a big auto-generated list of other people often. And I don't know how they pulled those other ones. But in addition to that, like there's like hashtags. So because everyone's sharing it on social media and
stuff, yeah.
And Instagram and stuff. So there's a lot of things like that.
But it's interesting that they had to go about and create their own community system because web pages aren't natively linked like YouTube videos. Like YouTube, not to be creepy or anything, but YouTube knows what you like based on what you watch. You know, it's like if you watch a few of these people and you share like, and those three people, a lot of those, their subscribers watch this fourth person, then YouTube is like, oh, I know you like these three. You're going to like this person because of all of the data that we've collected about everyone.
Exactly. They can so just show you just, that like, person.
Pushes you in the direction that you might like. And
bloggers
everything.
Had to like figure out how to do that themselves.
Manually. Yeah,
manually.
And there is a comment system on blogs and everything, obviously. But like...
There is a comment system. So I would comment sometimes on blogs that I was reading. Another reason that like Young House Love stood out to me is that Sherry would always reply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she replied to everybody. And
the
I
first time she replied to you, where you were like, ooh.
Oh, I was totally I fangirled every time. I still fangirl if I like leave a comment on one of her Instagram posts and she replies. I'm like, Sherry replied to me. You know, like, I've been following them for so long, you know? So there was still ways to like build community. And I feel like they did it really well. I tried to model that with our blog, even though we would just get like, you know, zero to a few comments.
Yeah.
And still like, I'd always reply to people. And I do think that's one thing that we carried into YouTube. And like, we still try our best to do, but like so many people that we, you know, started developing relationships with, or just like we're keeping an eye on their channels because they were in the same genre as we were or whatever. So many people who were much bigger than we were when we started, but are smaller than like where we are now, we're already at the point where they were like, I don't really, you know, I'll reply to a few and that's it. And I just remember being like, why, you know, reply to more people, like just like engage with their community, you know, like, and I still really try to do that. And I think it was because of like my experience on Young House Love and just being like, it's important to your community.
I think the thing that shot ourselves in the foot is when we started publishing, we're going from one video per week to sometimes five videos per week.
Wait, because of the gaming.
Because of the gaming.
It is a lot harder now to keep
like
up with everything.
Three uncuts, two main gaming. We do the podcast every 2 weeks and then the...
And all the social media.
And all the social media. And we've been blessed by a growing audience. And that's really cool. I think we did reply to every comment up until about 300,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
And then it just got away from us.
Yeah. But we kept up with replying to everybody for a really long time. And we still honestly do try to like reply to a large chunk of people.
Especially on the first day.
It's just spread out across so many more channels now. But I think that is one thing that I picked up from the blogger community, at least like the blogs I hung out on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was much more of a like build your own community.
I think another thing that's interesting about creating on a blog versus creating on a social media website like YouTube is the main thing that we could do. I mean, we do like, we could talk about Instagram and throw that in there and everything, but like TikTok. that's not like, I think
our main is
let's talk about business things, because we, our business is YouTube. I mean,
yeah,
we haven't really monetized Instagram because the earning potential on YouTube is bigger for us, and we just are out of time all the time, and anything extra for us right now, we're like, no, I'm just not going to do it. No. It's like, I know we could be like pushing and squeezing our assets more, but we just don't want to. We're just done. we're trying to get efficient and hit things the best. But where was I going? Oh yeah, features. Hmm. All of these social media websites, they want you to use it. They want to add all these features and like make it the best that it can be. For your blog, it's all on you.
Yeah.
You need to choose your host. You need to choose your like content management system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to choose your plugins. You need to like choose that SEO optimization, and you need to like pay for it sometimes. In addition, you have mm-hmm. to like, you have to win over YouTube or Google or
you
whatever.
Also have like, to like, if you want to communicate with your audience, you have to like set that up yourself. Like you need to have a mailing list and an incentive for people to sign up for your mailing list. And I acknowledge that is, from what everyone says, like the most valuable thing, that's more valuable than people clicking the bell, because then, you know, you have their email addresses, even if YouTube goes away, and you can still be like, hey guys, YouTube's not around anymore, so this is where we're posting stuff now. But like, it's so much more work to do that.
And whereas, honestly, like, it's costly.
Yeah, it's costly.
Yeah.
It costs money to do that kind of stuff. And the bigger you get, the more it costs. So,
but also, I mean, if you look at our data, the reason why we're getting so many views is mainly because of YouTube.
Yep. It's not us.
We love all of our subscribers. We love everyone who has that bell turned on. But honestly, 11%,
it's such a small, yeah.
It's 11% of our subscribers have that bell. 11% of subscribers have that bell ticked.
It's a small group.
The majority, the vast majority of our views come from YouTube suggesting it.
Yeah. Non-subscribers.
Non-subscribers.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for that, we would have a very small fraction, maybe 11% of the amount of views we have now. And that's like a good way to compare it to.
And that's a weakness and a power. We are at the mercy of YouTube continuing to like find us like attractive,
and sometimes that stresses you know? Us out. Every now and then we'll have like a mini existential crisis about like
are we doing this wrong,
what if 10 years from now YouTube's gone and like we didn't invest in our website enough and we never got a mailing list, and like we'll go through like a short period of like, oh god, we have to fix this now, and then Evan will put like an afternoon into research and he's like no
I don't want to.
And then we go back to just being like, we're fine being at the mercy of YouTube. Whatever. It's fine. You know, we'll figure out.
The people who really care will stick with us.
If there end up being issues, we'll figure them out as we get there. And that's usually what we come back
to. Let's not invent trouble.
Yeah, let's not invent trouble.
And it's not like anything is going to shift like that. I think that we're going to see signs. We're going to see trends. And, you know, we'll be able to like get out one last shout into whatever like social media platform we need to move to the next one or what have you. You know, it's like, also interestingly, one thing that like makes me feel more relaxed about transitioning is our experience with TikTok. I know people have mixed feelings about TikTok. We're not saying go there. There are concerns about TikTok, what, you know, and what have you, but one thing that I think that just from an experience of growth over there, we never posted about it on YouTube. We never posted about it on any of our socials.
We only shared mentioned it with you guys in the podcast, like, and on our stream, which are like our smaller audiences.
Smaller audiences. And that's our second biggest platform.
We're bigger on TikTok. The only platform we have that is bigger than TikTok is our main channel.
And pretty soon, one of our pieces of content on TikTok is going to be our most viewed piece of content ever.
Yep.
More than YouTube. Yep. After putting in not that much time and effort into it over like a few months.
Yeah.
So it's like that actually makes me relieved, honestly.
It's like, yeah, you just kind of like figure things out as you go and like.
And we can transition if we need to. Yeah. And I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to.
Oh, yeah. We're getting distracted. We're going on tangents.
I'm about to go on another tangent.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. So
this is fun. This is so fun. I love we talk about this, guys. We talk about this stuff
all the time.
All the time. This is like,
it's so fun to
what we live and breathe, and we don't want to chat about it with you guys.
We don't bore you too much with industry type stuff, but like
we're hitting the highlights of everything here, like some of our best or more interesting or more like the big picture things. We talk about nuanced stuff all the time. Oh man.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this is going to go back to again how like I have heard, not that I necessarily like agree or disagree or whatever, but I have heard the sentiment of like, oh, are blogs dead? Is that, you know, has video content taken over? Here's an interesting thing. Instagram is I don't know if it's out yet. I think it's maybe out with a select group of people.
Yes,
not us. We just saw an article about it. They're like rolling out a feature that is essentially blog posts.
Yeah. In Instagram,
I
forget what it's called,
which is so weird. It feels like going full circle because so many, I've heard from so many bloggers that like a lot of times their main audience is now on Instagram. Like they have a bigger, they have more people following them on Instagram than they do going to their blog. And Instagram is like the portal through which people get to their blog. But yeah, it's just interesting. It feels like it's going full circle almost.
Yeah, so it's like I have one that I found like that you know, we have like a news thing of like industry news, and yeah, there's a featured image with a title, like, and then there's written information and then an image and then more writing and an image and more writing and an image, but it's like basically a blog post within Instagram, which is crazy. And honestly, one strength of blogs that I really like is you are in full control over everything. You can start with an image, do text. You can have videos, multiple videos.
Yeah.
One video, multiple videos, what have you.
You can tell whatever story you're trying to tell in whatever way you want to tell
it. You can embed like a podcast.
Yeah.
You have full control over everything, which is so nice on a blog. And that's kind of nice. And like one thing that we've kind of been enjoying, like I didn't intend to plug this, but over on Patreon, sometimes we'll write up big, almost like
blog posts,
which is like image writing, image writing, image writing. And that's a great way to tell some stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of like where we've channeled our past like blog energy is into Patreon.
Honestly, if Instagram just didn't put these in a separate place and you could like click in on like a post and it could be a blog post. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, like if you like held your thumb over it, like, yeah, and a like prolonged
and it expanded into a blog post. That might be kind of, I don't know. But anyways,
it's just fascinating that it's adding a like bloggy type feature. And I don't know where this is going to lead. I mean, probably what they're trying to do is just keep people from clicking off of Instagram, honestly. Because like right now, if people want to share more photos and media and text than what you can fit in an Instagram post, they're linking away.
Honestly,
so I think Instagram's just trying to get people to stay on platform.
Why doesn't Facebook do that or something? You know, like the Facebook has a read more
option.
I'm sure
they will.
Like then you can have your first image, then text, and then just do inline images.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, Facebook owns Instagram, so you know.
Heck, this might already exist on Facebook and we're just too behind the times. Because
it might.
Facebook is like, oh, we could talk about Facebook for a while. The hot mess of Facebook.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah. I have things to say.
So one thing about blogs that I did feel a little bit of nostalgia for.
Yeah.
That, not that we couldn't do this on YouTube, but we won't do this on YouTube, is like blogs were so much more real time and flexible. Like we could do a giant mega blog post about a huge project and then the next few posts could be like tiny little mini posts that were just like, oh, I picked out some tiles for the laundry room. It's not even installing the tiles. It's just like, I picked them out and that's the whole blog post. Or it could be like a 10-part series that spread out across 6 months. And, you know, you kind of develop your own like playlist where people can like, if they get there after it's done, they can easily find all the posts. But it was just so much more flexible. And I felt like you could post about much smaller things. Like we have one that's just like, we put swatches on the wall, paint swatches on the wall for the laundry room.
And then shared our feelings.
And shared our feelings about them. Yeah. The paint swatches. That was it. That was literally it.
And like, it was interesting too, because oftentimes in our blog posts, we would post about the project and then like venture off into almost like a vlog type thing where we talk about our life.
It was very vloggy. Yeah, it was very vloggy. There's like, a lot of updates about wedding planning and vacations, but also like the projects and also our feelings or experiences. Like I wrote a whole post about like experience, like issues with contractors and like the experiences around that, you know? And it was, that is one of the like, I think, good things about blogs is you could be a lot more flexible because it wasn't tied to an algorithm that like, oh, maybe it prioritized views before and now it's prioritizing watch time. It's not like Google prioritizes, you know, how, I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's not true. Maybe they do prioritize how long someone stays on the page versus
one thing that's interesting though is like, we never fully succeeded on the blog. So we were just having fun and doing whatever just because we there's no
That's true. Stakes, maybe that's what I was nostalgic for, having zero stakes. Maybe that's why I'm like, oh man, if we just had time to do Evan and Caitlin 2 stuff, that'd be so fun because there's no stakes.
Yeah.
Like you don't care if yet. Stuff flops. Yet.
But we've held on to that with our gaming channel. You know, we don't stress that much about
if things
our
flop.
Gaming channel.
That's true.
And like we don't put as much pressure on the thumbnails and
that's true.
Titles and stuff. We
so maybe
we care,
that's
but.
More what I'm nostalgic for. But I don't know. It was just blogs had a very nice real time kind of vloggy feel to them. At least like ours did and the ones that I read did, which as the person writing it is nice. Like I enjoyed writing that style, but also as a reader, you really did feel like you were following along with someone and it wasn't like, here's my like weekly vlog that I put out scheduled every Friday. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it feels less real time than like back when people were doing the daily vlogs. But it's a lot harder to do a daily vlog than it is like a daily blog post, I think. I don't know. Now, again, we're speaking from a place of like speculation.
Now, Caitlin.
Yes.
It's going to be hard to equate YouTube and blogging because our experiences with YouTube have been so different.
Yes.
And we've found success there. But if we had a super successful blog that was equivalent to our YouTube channel in terms of opportunities and engagement and fun things and stuff like that versus YouTube, which would you enjoy the process of creating more?
YouTube.
Really? What are the main things?
So I kind of... I took a similar role in both, and you kind of had a similar role in both, where like you would kind of do more of the like practical design work and research for projects, and I would kind of craft the story. So like I did the writing on the blog, and I do the editing on the videos. And one thing that brings me joy is like trying to make things funny and entertaining, and I feel like it is easier and more fun for me to do that in video form than it is for a blog post. Like writing was never like a strength of mine in school. It wasn't something that I was like particularly drawn to as a hobby. Not that like editing was either, but I feel like there's so many more times where I like crack myself up when I'm editing and I'm probably just like with my headphones
and I'm
on,
always
chuckling.
So impatient because like Caitlin has something funny and she's like what is it show me, she's like it's not ready yet, it's like she's like cooking like it's not ready, it's too hot, I haven't added the spices yet. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's exactly
the added spices.
And I also just I don't know, I enjoy the process of like video more than I do taking photos and writing.
Now, I do have to add a caveat to this.
Okay.
When we first started doing YouTube videos, it wasn't as fun to film or edit.
True.
Because we were doing things that didn't, that we felt good about, but we weren't fully, they weren't the most natural fit for the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of us have fun in. Like we are in the middle of filming a video right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, oh, it's so fun. It was fast, easy, fun, all these good things. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm like, oh, yeah. When is this coming out? Is that going to be out around
then? It won't be out yet.
Okay. Anyways, good. And like, this is the perfect fit for us. The filming was easy. The editing is so natural. Like, so many funny moments. The best. Now, contrasting that to the blogging,
mm-hmm.
it's not like a one-to-one comparison because we weren't doing as fun stuff.
That's true.
But I also don't think that we would laugh as much. From my perspective, blogging was easier and less pressure than filming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But it also wasn't as fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. In some ways, it's kind of like live streaming our games. Like, we both enjoy gaming.
Yes.
But there's something about like live streaming it that makes it even more fun, like knowing that we're sharing it with someone. And for the blog post, what you're sharing is the photos and then you write about the experience later. Yeah. But that's different than capturing the experience in the moment and knowing like, oh, this is, so many people are going to get to like watch this and hang out with us. Like, it gives it a joy.
Yeah. So during,
blogging, it, because the creation of the content of like the storytelling came so much after the actual project in a way, like it was separate from it. It wasn't that same kind of like giddy fun that we sometimes can get with like streaming and videos and stuff.
For the two of us, like, we were going to do the project either way. And in the process of the project, we either capture the project in video where so much is captured in the moment, or we just document it with photos and then write up the experience later. And for the two of us, video is the more natural fit for mm-hmm. that, because for all of our lives, like, I'm not sure if like this is the right word, but like my parents called like me like a little bit of a ham.
A ham? Oh yeah. I was a little bit of a ham.
We would like perform for the camera. Yeah. We would like that aspect of like time spent. We like hamming it up in a way.
We do.
We enjoy it. It's just fun for us. It's like an enjoyable thing. And other people don't like that.
Yeah.
Other people don't like that aspect of like the project.
And maybe it still took us a while to get used to, because it is different, like filming yourself knowing you're going to put it on the internet versus like, you know, we used to do like little vacation videos just for ourselves that we never planned to put anywhere, you know. So it still took us a while to get used to doing like filming ourselves for internet consumption. But I definitely think it is a better fit for us.
And I think that interestingly, we have kind of been on a journey here personally for a long time. We have been wanting to create content. We've been wanting to share it. We've been wanting to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried all different forms. Blogging was one of the steps along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we would have gotten to a YouTube channel without the blog.
I agree.
And we learned so much from the blog, but it just, for us, wasn't the best fit. But, you know, I think that, like, that content and that content form is still working for so many people. There are still so many blogs that are doing well. And for some people, it's the perfect fit.
You know what's
interesting? With the right set of talents and like personalities, et cetera.
You know what is interesting though? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we obviously right now we're not going into any events, but back when we were going to events, there's some events that we go to in the like DIY maker space where there are YouTubers and there are bloggers and there are Instagrammers. You know, there's people who like their primary thing is like various different types of platforms. And it's so interesting because the YouTubers are like So how important do you think, to the bloggers, like how important is it that I have a website? Like, do I need to be pinning stuff?
And they're like, yes.
Like, should I have a mailing list? And all the bloggers are like, yes. Oh my gosh. Like, that's my lifeblood. You have to do these things.
You're not on a premium ad serving network that serves the better paying ads. How are you doing this? You're not putting ads in the middle of your blog post. What are you doing?
You're leaving
so much on the table.
But then also, all the bloggers are like, do I need to start a YouTube channel?
And we're like, yes! Should
we be doing video? And we're like, yes, you have to. If you're not, oh my gosh, you're doing these projects already. It's a waste not to video document them. And it's like, neither of us are wrong or right. It's just so interesting. it's too much work for like a single party to do a full-time blog and a full-time YouTube channel unless they have like a whole team of people working for them. And it's just funny that there's like FOMO on either side of it.
Yeah, I know we're leaving a lot on the table by not heavily investing on Pinterest, but it's just like I'd rather just make another video.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so true. I just think it's interesting that it's like we're both trying to do our own like independent business, building our brand and all this stuff on different platforms, and we're like, are we leaving stuff on the table that you're doing? And they're like, am I leaving stuff on the table that you're doing?
I think it just like I'm gonna go back to a story I've told multiple times, so I apologize if y'all have already heard it listening, but we were at a conference and we were giving a panel talk with five other YouTubers, successful YouTubers, some with millions and millions of subscribers, more than we had at the time. And all five of us had different views on just YouTube. Mm-hmm. We're talking about like blogging and YouTube right now, but also like everyone's YouTube experience is different. Everyone's like, blog experience is different. But like, yeah, we were on stage.
And all but one person were all like maker/education/DIY related.
Yeah. And we were like, do this, and another person's like, no, do this, and another person's like, this is important, another person's like, that's not important at all, don't worry about it. So it's like, with content creation, there's still such new things, there are no hard and fast rules, everyone's making it up as you go. Mm-hmm. There are some things that work for some people. I don't really know why I'm getting into all of this, but I think that since we've been talking about YouTube versus blogs, mm-hmm. and we've been talking about things that work for us, things that don't work for us.
YouTube versus YouTube. Yeah, YouTube channel versus YouTube channel. Yeah, different strategies.
Like with this, we're just sharing our personal experiences. Mm. We're not sharing any hard and fast rules about anything.
Yeah, yeah. We just think, again, like Evan mentioned, this is the kind of stuff we love to talk about.
We love to talk about it. And so, like, the thing we can't share is we analyze other channels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we love.
All the time.
We love analyzing other channels.
Yes, we love like saying like, what do you think about their drift? Because like one thing that's really interesting to me is like not just where people are at a single moment. We don't like...
But like their trends like,
watching,
over time.
Watching a single video is interesting, but watching a channel develop
so interesting.
And grow, like which way are they moving? Is it through intent or is it through...
Following the views or...
Or is it just like listening to good advice, listening to bad advice. Are they doing this intentionally or are they just getting tired of this and they're just not doing that as much? Or maybe they're changing their personalities as they grow and stuff.
It's very fascinating to analyze.
Oh. And we don't want to mention these specific channels just because like it seems like it'd be going into drama and weird and everything. And
we don't do it for the purpose of like drama. We do it for the purpose of learning. Like it's fascinating for us to see the trends of either people that have come before us or people that kind of like came up at the same time as us, and it's just interesting.
Like one thing that I can generalize and then relate to us, that's one thing that we can do. There's a complete side tangent.
Yeah,
this could almost be a podcast in and of itself.
I was just thinking that,
but like one thing that we try to look out for and worry about, because we've seen it happen to other channels, you start leaning into what you're being praised for to the point where you go beyond your base and you're almost like a parody of where
of
you started.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you get praised for this one thing that you do and you do it like too much, and then you do it, then you're like, that's all your channel is. And then you've lost what made people fall in love with you in the beginning, which was the contrast between normal and this one thing. And then it's all this one thing, and then it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that.
So like an example might be like, okay, so we have a couple like little songs that we do.
Resin
we have
time.
Like Resin Time or Science mm-hmm. Adjacent. And we get good feedback about those. We could lean into that because we get good feedback. You know, people want merch with those things on them. Like so many comments are do Resin Time. We could really lean into that and make a song for literally every type of project we do, every type of thing. So that like in every video, there's going to be at least 4 songs.
It is time to use the Mighty Saw.
We're gonna I'm doing the same tune. I don't know.
Anyways, like we don't want to be one dimensional like that. We want to keep on doing new things. We don't want to get stuck inside of things like, or like a lot of our views are around resin. A lot of people are like, you should just do resin. We're like, but we don't want to be one dimensional like that, even though we love resin.
Yeah, we love resin, but we still like purposely mix in other projects that aren't resin related just because we don't want to get stuck just doing that, or like mm-hmm. you know, we want to keep mixing it up. Or like on the gaming channel, Minecraft, like it's our longest series. We just did part 50.
But yeah, if we had have just stuck with Minecraft, we might not have
found the forest or Animal Crossing, or like these other games and that we really love.
We love, yeah.
And so yeah, it's easy to lean too far into something you're getting praised for,
yeah,
and then like either get yourself in a situation with viewer expectations that you can't get out of, or just like be too much that thing.
Or you get tied to it, you can't escape, and you mm-hmm. fatigue of it, and you end up not liking it anymore.
You resent it,
but you still have to do it, and then you're doing it while resenting it, and if everyone's like, "Why are they so?"
If we were like, resin time.
Da, resin time,
you know? I mean, that would be hilarious.
That would be pretty funny. Anyways, I think we're getting off track, which means that it's time to wrap this up and move on to thing of the week. Unless there's anything else, should we look at anything else?
We can look at our notes about blogging versus YouTube.
I'm not,
but I think we covered all the stuff that I want to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. We did good. Good job, Caitlin. Good job. This has been a really interesting topic to span 2 different podcasts. Wow. Yeah,
like it.
So thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Okay.
And now it's time for
Thing of the Week.
I knew that you wanted to leave room for the music. I sensed your mood, Caitlin.
Thank you. I also, like, sometimes you sound like you're leading into the outro, and I'm like, if you sound like you're leading into the outro, people are going to leave.
Boom. So people can see the progress bar. Thing of the week sometimes takes like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but they can't always see the progress bar. You know, maybe
if they're about to exit, they usually see the progress bar.
No, but what
right?
if they're listening on their headphones
and they like, just pause like,
tap it. And they're like, I'm done. Like Evan's wrapping up because he's saying thank you everyone for listening and watching. And then they're like, okay, it's done.
Sorry. All right. My thing of the week. Or do you want to go first?
No, you go first. Okay. You go first.
My thing of the week is it's not really a thing. It's a life hack. It's a tip I learned. Now, I'm not sure if it's on Apple, so you might need to look it up. But on Windows, you can press the Windows key and then the semicolon. And that pulls up an emoji keyboard on your...
No matter where you are.
On your computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We use emojis a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, communicating on the internet through just text...
Not enough.
And also, oftentimes, it's easy to miscommunicate.
You need smiley.
I want smileys. I want emotions. I want the surprise face. I want the hands in the air. Yeah. I want smiles, thumbs ups.
Yeah.
That's how we talk. And we talk and we like, you know, we also use them a lot on social media, a ton. We still, like we mentioned earlier, we still reply to a lot of comments and almost all of our replies with emojis.
Yeah.
And so we use emojis a lot. So that was just a little.
Yeah, if you're on your computer. Didn't you do it accidentally?
I did it accidentally. I was like trying to type or something. I accidentally pressed Windows semicolon. And then I was like, whoa, how'd that emoji keyboard thing come up? And then I Googled it and I found it. And Windows semicolon. Yeah.
So if there is an Apple equivalent, I'm assuming it would be Apple semicolon.
Probably not. I don't know. No. It's like Apple is doing its own thing.
Apple, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Okay. So my thing of the week is a series, a book series I just finished that Evan had recommended to me, and it's called the Heartstriker series. And I really liked it. It is a five-part series, and apparently there's like another three-part series in the same world. I haven't started it yet, but yeah. I'm going to. I'm very excited. But it's kind of like a modern fantasy, like modern day kind of fantasy, mm-hmm. where basically the premise is like, you know, we were all going about our daily lives, and then a mysterious meteor hit the earth and it like reawoke magic.
Yeah.
And so like in modern day, then all these things were reawoken, like mages and spirits and dragons and like all this craziness. So that's kind of like the world it's set in. But the reason that I like it is like it's super fast paced, which is important because I get bored easily in books. Super fast paced, very interesting characters and very like deep backstories, but backstories that are revealed little by little as you continue through the book. So the characters might seem like a little one dimensional at first, but everything is revealed in a very natural way over time, which I prefer over like having to read a giant backstory.
Huge chapter on just this one backstory pass thing. I don't know.
Like it's all or revealed.
They make you care about a person and then they give them a full chapter later with a backstory or something.
Yeah.
Or
who knows? But once you're like invested in them, but they like developed the story, which spans centuries. Like very naturally and within a very fast paced series.
You can tell that the author came up with a full story arc and then broke it up and divided it between the books and everything like that. There was no like, oh man, I could just talk about some book series that I love.
There was no like, oh, well, books 2 and 3 sucked. They kind of dragged on.
Oh my gosh.
Every book was great.
Don't even get me started on Sword of Truth. Don't even get me started on Wheel of Time.
I'm sorry that those you had to suffer through.
Those had some dry periods where you just had to slog through it.
With the Heartstriker series, everything was primo. The ending was very satisfying.
It is like a light book. It's a light nice, book. Light, it's not fluffy-ish deep. Book.
Yeah.
No, it's not that fluffy.
It's pretty fluffy.
It's pretty.
It's like a fun, fluffy movie, but it's got interesting characters and like interesting stories. It's an interesting take.
You're constantly on a cliffhanger.
Constantly on a cliffhanger, yeah. But yeah, I liked it a lot, and so I'll have a link to it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you again for tuning into our little podcast here on this, our little corner of the internet. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the next one.
Bye. Bye. Can I add a thing?
Go for it.
We'll probably have a couple of reminders for this, but we mentioned it like in passing in the last podcast, but we want to do a thing where we have people submit.
Yes,
want to do like an ENK advice column, and we also are interested in doing like ENK spooky stories. So we're gonna have a link in here in the description where you can submit those types of things, and we think it'd be super fun to like read them and react to them on the podcast. So just want to throw that in there. We'll probably mention it a few more times since both times have been like at the end of the podcast and in a very quick aside. We're still trying to figure it all out exactly.
You know what, Caitlin? Even though I might have been talking like it was the end of the podcast, the end of podcast music wasn't playing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, when you hear that this music that's playing right now, that's when you know it's
that's the end.
Yeah, true listeners understand.
Yes.
look forward to hearing being with you next time. I already used up my one intro. Emergency exit.